She hadn't been Annalene Thaney in nearly 20 years. It had been that long since she'd written anything but a bill of sale. And what she read now aggravated her. The words were written by a child about a child, or rather, about a grown-up who would never exist. Annalene grew increasingly disgusted with each paragraph, until finally she reached her breaking point. She stood and turned to the right, where a sand berm had piled up behind the vaporator. Grasping the data pad in one hand, she twisted her torso and hurled the device. The data pad spun like a discus, sailing over the dune and out of sight. Annalene plopped back down on the blanket, satisfied and ashamed in equal parts. It was an old device, rarely used, and what was on it was of no use to anyone. Let the Jawas have it. But suddenly she realized she'd never heard it land. "Lose something?" Ben said. The cloaked man stood atop the dune, with the suns high behind him, and the Eopi at his side. In his right hand, he held the data pad. Annalene stumbled as she tried to get up. "Sorry," she said, quickly recovering her composure. "I hope I didn't hit you with that." Ben held up the data pad, amused. "Obsolete model?" "Obsolete life," Annalene said, grinning. "And I can sell you 10 better data pads than that." "I wouldn't have use for them, I'm afraid." Ben smiled politely as he stepped into the shade behind the vaporator. Out of the glare, he glanced at the screen. What he saw made him look again, more closely. He scanned the words. "Educational opportunities, off-world, swift placement." He looked to her, eyes widening. "Why, this is a university application." Annalene felt flushed. "Look at the date on it," she said. "Oh." Ben's eyes narrowed. "More than 20 years ago," he said. "It's from after my father lost most of his ranch. Not long after I had to go to work for Danar. Back then, I still had my sights set on working with animals. A zoological expedition authorized by the University of Alderaan," Ben read aloud. "Traveled 10 worlds in a 2-year exobiology program." He looked up at her. "It sounds nice." "For someone." She took off her hat and ran her fingers through her hair. 20 years ago, maybe." Ben studied it further. "I don't know about that. It looks like they've been offering this program for centuries." He looked up at her. "I'm sure they're still running expeditions." She winced. No, she didn't want to go over this again, and certainly not with him. Seeming to sense her unease, he deactivated the gadget and offered it. "Don't you want this?" "I threw it away." She changed the subject. "So why are you here?" He straightened and cleared his throat. "I have actually come for a drink," he said, lowering the data pad. Annalene's eyebrows rose. "Really?" "Yes," he said. "I've been having trouble getting my old vaporator into service. But I met Orin Galt the other day, and he had the best water I've ever tasted. I was wondering..." She smiled. "Buy the keg, my friend. Buy the keg. But first," she said, "you should try this." She reached out and took his hand. Her touch startled him. But as she turned him to face the vaporator, he saw what she had in mind. A key sat lodged in a lock. "Ah," he said, watching her open the door. "This is one of Orin's. What did he call them? His pretormans?" "Yes," Annalene said, rotating the tap outward to become a spigot. "And it's not Orin's. It's mine. Danar put up the first GX-9 in the Oasis here before he died. Your canteen, sir." Ben reached into his cloak for his canteen and gave it to her. He watched as she filled and returned it. He steeled himself before drinking the cold water. He gasped nonetheless. "Amazing," he said, rubbing icy lips with the back of his hand. It's even better than Orin's, if that's possible.
Thank my husband.
I thought... Ben capped his canteen. I thought he had passed.
He did.
Annalene gestured to the blinking controls inside the open panel. Danar adjusted this vaporator once, years ago, just fooling around. He got what you're drinking there. We've never changed the settings. Orin's been trying to replicate them all over the valley. He took the idea and ran with it.
I guess so.
She turned back and gestured to the store. Danar didn't mind. We had enough worries without getting into the farming business. You know what they say? Don't dig for treasure. Sell the shovels. She turned back toward the store, suddenly downcast.
I guess I've been out here long enough, she said.
She beckoned to Rue. Let's get you fed and watered, girl. The animal trotted toward her. Ben watched them for a moment before kneeling to gather her blanket.
I'm sorry to have reminded you about Dana, he said, walking along behind her.
Orin said he'd stopped to help people in the desert.
It was just like him,
Annalene said, leading Rue to the troughs near the livery. She knelt to tie the Eope's lead to a post and stayed down, lost in thought. Ben studied her in silence.
Wait a moment, he said. It wasn't just 8 years ago, was it?
He looked at her.
It was 8 years ago today.
You're good. She looked up at him. One of our locals was in the Comet Run. We were going to have a big celebration here. Danar had gone to Mos Eisley for something special. She shook her head.
That's crazy, isn't it? Send someone out for fleek eels and they never come back.
Ben stood back, respectful of her moment.
I'm sorry, Annalene. I won't patronize you by saying I know how you feel. Every tragedy is different and personal. But you can take some solace in that he was committing a selfless act.
Well, Ben, that's just it,
she said, eyes glistening.
It's fine to sacrifice yourself if no one else has claim to you. Danar belonged to us, and we never gave him permission to die.
Her forehead crinkled, and she tightened the knot on Rue's lead.
Ben seemed taken aback.
Noticing, she stood and offered a weak smile. It wasn't good business to depress the customers.
Sorry, it's just the day, she said. I could leave if it's...
No,
she said, taking the blanket from his hands.